I would like to share with you some of the words that we heard from Ephesians chapter 5. I don't know if you were listening to them, but they're quite involved, particularly these words. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out then what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. For you are children of the light. Hey, the word fruit again, but I don't want to play on that. What I thought of when I first read this is, you got to make hay while the light shines. Isn't that true? You know why they say that? Because it's awful hard to make hay at night. I don't know if anybody here has tried that. It's kind of ridiculous. But could you imagine driving the tractor down the row of hay in the middle of the night, trying to get all that hay up into the baler? Could you imagine standing on the hay wagon and trying to stack that while it's pitch black outside? And then driving the tractor over to the barn, being up in the mow and trying to get those bales in the mow. You're looking at me, I'm not a farmer. I've done enough baling of hay. It's hard enough to do in the light than to try to do it at night. So that's why they say it. You got to make your hay while the light shines. Now, given that, I think there are some things we can do at night. One of the things that I think we can do at night is go potty. Some of us have to, in the night, go potty. Now, what do you do? How many of you have a nightlight? Be honest. How many of you have a nightlight? You elderly? Yeah, Ray Elders. What kind of a nightlight do you have? Like a Santa Claus or something like that? No, you don't even want to tell me what it is, do you? But a nightlight we need so that you can get out of bed, right, without stubbing your toe. Then you might get to the hall light, and what do you got to do? You got to turn the hall light on because you got light. There are things that we can do at night, and there's a lot of things we do at night, but we need the help of the light. So I imagine now you're thinking, where's he going with this? Well, we're children of the light. We're physically geared to operate in light. When darkness comes, we need help. Lamps, flashlights, lanterns, headlamps. When we used to go coon hunting in October in the cornfields, we used to take those heavy-duty spotlights to look for them. The only way we could find them is when the light reflected off of their eyes. Raccoons can operate at night. Like cats and deer, they're set up nocturnally, right? Another one is a bat. It's got a sonar system. They're great for the nighttime, but not us. We're not geared for the light. And I can just remember when I was really little, and I'd be laying in bed, and the lights would go off. I'd put the sheets over my head. Do you know why? Nothing good happens after midnight. We still say that as adults, don't we? It only makes sense, then, that one of the first things that God did for our good, not his own, but for our good, is He created the light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was good. Not for God, but for you. For it makes life possible for us. Yeah, I know, plants need it to grow, but why do plants grow? Does God need plants? No, we do. So God gave the light. Oddly enough, light is something more than just what's physical. And in fact, scientists have a hard time saying it's just physical because they haven't figured it out yet. It encompasses more than what science can say about it. So the Bible says this, the true light came into the world and blessed it. Something more than a metaphor is going on here, because light makes it possible to not only see the things that are physical in this world, but the light also makes it possible, you got it, right? To see God. The Apostle Paul says, we need the light of God in our lives. When Jesus spoke, it was often called light because it lit up the darkness and drove away evil and sin. Like a parent revealing the lie of a child. Like a public prosecutor revealing the crimes of a criminal. Light exposes what's in the darkness. But light can be comforting too, can it? Because light helps us through the dark. Light helps us through the evil and sin of our world. And light reveals the plan of God, that we're not strong enough. Yes, we know that. It is impossible for man to come to God and be saved. The light reveals the sun, and with the sun, nothing is impossible. And because of His death and resurrection, the sacrifice of life, the gift of eternal life, we now see exactly who God is. He wants you to know He loves you to the point that He will accept you now and eternally. Who could fathom such a thing? You know, it's our natural tendency, am I not right? Our natural tendency to say, what must I do to be saved? It's our natural tendency to say, you know what? Karma. Karma's come to get me. I got to switch things around. If I do good, my karma will do good to me. And so it's our natural tendency to cling to the law and say, the better person I am, the better things will happen to me. I forget now. I had this talk with somebody at the picnic. We were talking about the different things that happened over the past year. And we were talking about, you know, I lost my hearing, and I've had some other physical issues. Lost my dad. Looks like I'm going to lose my brother fairly soon. There has been a cascading effect of things that have happened to me over the past year. And it's only natural for me to say, I did something wrong. God's punishing me. Karma is out to get me. What did I do? Was it coming to Wales? Was it that I treated somebody poorly? Was it something I said? And my loving friend said, "You're sounding like a Catholic." No, none of that. Instead, I'm learning a lesson, a wonderful lesson, to cling to the light, to be a child of the light, to know that the light shines on me no matter what the darkness brings. And when the darkness brings something, shine the light on it and see if what it really truly is. Me and you growing closer to the light. Thus, we are children of the light. Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Children of the light. That means children of God. And God is good, and if we're children of the Almighty good, what does that make us? Christians. Makes us good. Makes us light. And that's what Paul says pretty clearly. Anything that the light reveals becomes light. And so, such you are. Light and good. Look what God has done. Did Paul say you had to do something to get it? No, he just declares it. He says, "My friends in Ephesus, you are children of light. You are God's goodness. God did it. Darkness is no longer your home. You no longer abide in evil and sin. You are set free." What good gospel, isn't it? Beautiful gospel. Wonderful promises. A great proclamation for you to take with you this week. For you are the light of the Lord. You are the goodness of God. You are His very children. To the point that He would say, "Because you are such, live as children of light." We need to hear that, don't we? To live as children of light. You need to hear that. Death and darkness are all around us. They dominate the world. All day long, bad things are hiding out there in the shadows. And you never know what darkness might meet you face to face. It could be anything from a temptation to do something you would rather not do, to some kind of evil being subject upon you. It's round us everywhere and where we go. For the heart is evil, isn't it? The heart of man is corrupt. And we live in a corrupt world. Paul says, put that corruption behind you. Live in the light of the Lord. Have you ever been in a place so dark you hold your hand in front of your face and you can't see it? Have you ever been in a place so dark? I have. More than once. I've actually been outside when it's so dark and cloudy and dreary. So dark where there are no lights. I couldn't see my hand. I've been in the basement and cellars of places where people have turned out the light on me, didn't know I was down there, and I couldn't see a finger 2 inches from my face. I've been there. And because of that, I feel for the blind. Now, here at Bethlehem, I'm not sure, but I don't think we have any blind, but I've been in congregations, and every single one of them before had a blind person. So I had interesting discussions with blind people because they live in total darkness. Now, one of the things you don't know about blind people who live in darkness, is they're more likely to be Christian than anybody else. Did you know that? There's a higher percentage of Christians that are blind than any other handicap than those of us are considered normal. Why do you think that is? They seek the light. They're looking for light. They want light in their lives. And seeing the light of Jesus is just as good as for them as to see the light of the sun shining on a sunny day. Odd. Maybe our own eyes are mucking us up, living in the light the way we do, mucking us up. Here you are, children of the light. Why would you ever want to put a blindfold on? That would be silly. But how many times do we do just that when we see something going on that we know is wrong, either in our own lives or in the lives of somebody else, and we do nothing about it? We put a blindfold on. Why would a person who lives in the light and is a child of the light want a blindfold on and try to go through life that way? It makes no sense. It's silly. For people locked up in the dark, dreary prison of sin, ignorant of what freedom really is, why would they, when set free into the light of the day, turn around and say, I don't like the sunshine, I don't like the light, I would just as soon be locked up in a dark, dreary cell of prison? This makes no sense. Yet how many of us retreat to the things we know are hurtful and harmful as soon as we know we're set free? A wise person driving in the light of the day doesn't close their eyes to make it to Milwaukee down Highway 94, do they? I bet you some of you think other people are doing that. But that would be silly. And neither would you do it. Why would you close perfectly good eyes when you need them the most to be safe, defenseless, defensive, and to be helpful to those who drive around you? Yet how many of us do just that? We close our eyes to the people around us in need, the poor, the hurting, the ones who need comfort. To close your eyes when you're a child of the light and not use the light to benefit humanity. This is not what God wants, my friends. For you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Find out then, Paul says, this is interesting. He says this. Find out what pleases the Lord, which tells me we don't naturally know what pleases the Lord. We got to open up the Bible. That's our guidebook, our instruction book. Open up the Bible and learn what it says about how to be pleasing to the Lord. Now, I'm not just talking about, okay, I opened it up and it says, I should go to church, I should help the poor. No, I'm talking about growing in the fullness of the light. Doing all we can, no matter what the situation is, reading what we need to read to be in the fullness of the light. Now, I'm not just talking about the religious part of this either. I'm talking about striving to be in the light and to be light, 24/7 stuff. Why go back to the darkness? That's no place for someone like you, the elect, the chosen, the one lavished in the light, the one who now knows the great master plan of the great master, those who live in the light of the law. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God for everything the Father gives in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I almost preached on that because that's so funky. Listen to this one more time. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, speak to one another with psalms. So, in other words, one of you comes up to me, and I to you, we shake hands, and I say, "How you doing?" And you answer, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And I say, "He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest me with oil, my cup overflows." That's quite a conversation, isn't it? That's quite a conversation. But to have that conversation, you got to know a couple psalms. Is that not right? But listen to this. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns. How you doing? How great thou art, right? Amazing grace. And you start singing, and the other guy's thinking, "Well, this is kind of funky. What hymns do I know?" I always thought this part of Scripture weird, but it says to make music with your heart, to be at that point where scripturally you know you're a children of the light and you want to reflect the Scripture in all you say and all you do. And here's the most important thing: to give all thanksgiving to the Father through Jesus Christ. And I think this is the most important thing. When somebody says, you know, like for example me, "How you doing today?" And I say, "I'm kind of having an off day, you know, this, that, or the other thing, and I'm not exactly sure how to understand what this is or what that is." Oh, but one thing, praise be to God, and to Him all thanksgiving, Lord willing. See? That's what Paul's talking about. When the church interacts with one another, that we are light, not just to each other, but to others, that others might see the light and be drawn to the light. I'm talking about the way we treat one another, not to be sarcastic about one another, jesting and making jokes about one another. This portion of the Scripture is clear on that. Very clear. Don't be facetious about your brother or sister in Christ. Don't be sarcastic. Don't jest or joke. Such is obscenity, Paul would say. But rather, speak of one another, putting the best construction on everything, that the world might see your kindness, consideration, and your compassion. And they themselves see the light. I'm talking about honest prayer and repentance, because we're all going to screw up from time to time. We're all going to blow it. Nobody's going to get over it and get better as a Christian until you see you blew it, you knew you did wrong, you turn to the Lord and you say, "I don't want that to happen again. Please, Lord, forgive me and help me to be more than I am, driving away the darkness, bringing forth the light." Paul says, everything exposed by the light will become visible, and everything that is illuminated will become light. And he talks to his people, and he says, "You know what? You're the light. You're the children of God. You're the goodness of the world. Bask in that light. Don't go back to the darkness. look to the Lord and grow and be his people now and forevermore. Amen.